the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. And I hope that you have enjoyed this series. I have enjoyed preaching it. And it's been kind of a task, really, because there's a lot to study. There's a lot of sermons. There's been a lot written and said about the Beatitudes. How to be truly blessed. And again, that word being blessed, being happy. I think the church really has two main things that we do. And one is to see unsaved people saved, the lost saved. And then see saved people live a blessed or happy life. Jesus said that I come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. God wants us to have an abundant life while we're on this earth. A blessed life, a truly happy life. Now, when we say happy, we're not talking about accumulating things. We're not talking about what the world says is happiness. In fact, what a lot of these messages have been about is giving us some proper biblical definitions. What does the Bible say? And I remind you, church, this morning that the Lord Jesus here. Now, can you imagine? You said, well, I wish I could have heard Jesus teach. I wish I could have been there when he preached. Maybe you don't even ever thought about that. Guess what? That's what you're doing when you read this part of the Bible. You are literally hearing what Jesus taught. You're literally hearing what his radical teaching. You know, people are like, man, I want to hear something radical. There's nothing as radical as what our Savior is teaching right here. He takes his disciples apart. He takes them up on this. In fact, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he tells them, and he goes through some these things are these blessed. This happy is that man. Blessed is that person that does this. And what he tells them is completely upside down from what the flesh and the world and the devil is teaching. And it's still upside down to this very day. There's no one as radical as our Savior. He was radical in his teaching. When I say radical, of course, you know, I mean that in the proper, good, and godly way. I'm not talking about these people protesting on the streets politically. I'm not talking about those type of things. I'm talking about a truly, hey, aren't you glad that God teaches us something different than this old world teaches? We live in a messed up world. As I was thinking about last week being Father's Day, it's hard in my mind to think last week was Father's Day. It seems like it's been a year ago to me already. But I give you an example. I was doing a little study and research this week, and you know, we're living in a time where people say, I would die for my kids. I would die for my kids. But here's, how about this? How about you live for your kids? I'd lay down my life for my kids, but you wouldn't live for them. That hit me like a ton of bricks. I heard a preacher say that this week, and I thought, that's kind of the way the Christian life is. We said, well, I really wish I could hear the teachings of Jesus. Here it is, right here, right in front of us. Would we really abide by what God's Word says? Now, what does this mean? Blessed are the peacemakers. I want to give you a few thoughts this morning. One, I want to talk about the definition of what a peacemaker is and what a child of God is. I want to give you a description. And again, I want to allude back to a man that wrote this several hundred years ago. And he gives 11 descriptions of being a peaceable person that I love. And then we'll talk about the delight of being a child of God. There's nothing like being a child of God. Aren't you glad that God loves you this morning? I say to you this morning, God loves you. You said, brother, I shouldn't know what I've done. Hey, God still loves you. I sure thank the Lord this morning that God loves us. I want to start off this morning by looking at a definition. What does it mean to be a peacemaker? What does this mean when the Bible says these things? Because I think sometimes we tend to get our definitions off, and we tend to think of things differently than maybe the Bible intended. And I come across a few things. In fact, I want to give you a definition this morning. The immediate question is, what is this peace? What is this peace? And who is the peacemaker? A look at the Beatitude in the light of its setting reveals at once that it does not refer to the role of an arbiter, nor to arbitration, nor to the composing differences between people. The peacemaker here is not the compromiser of a disagreement and the settler of a dispute. It is a passage on reconciliation to God and involves the doctrine of peace with God. And the peacemaker is the peace preacher, the disciple who should show the people of the world how to find peace with God. It is the peace of Romans 10:15. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. It is the peace that Christ came to preach. as expressed by Paul in Ephesians. For he is our peace, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them who are nigh. It is the peace that Peter preached to the children of Israel and to Cornelius, as recorded in Acts 10. The word that God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. It is the peace that comes through justification by faith, as stated in Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the peace of reconciliation by the blood of the cross, as declared in Colossians. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. It is the peace of reconciliation to God. See, I think sometimes when we read that, we say, blessed are the peacemakers. Well, let's be a peacemaker. That means that I'll have a good marriage if I'm a peacemaker. That means if I can just get along with everybody. Now, don't misunderstand me. As we go on through this, I think you'll find out that is a byproduct of it. Because God's people that love his word and love him and look to him have been people of peace. But that's not what it means in and of itself. We think about blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And so we think about peacemaker, that definition of a peacemaker. We think about what that means. And what, when we look at a peacemaker, we look at a child of God. We need to understand, church, this morning that many times we think about what is a child of God? What does that really mean when we think about a child of God? I want to read this to you. We think about the title Sons of God, a designation of high honor and dignity, showing that by their promotion of peace, they have entered into the very sphere of the Father's own activity. They are his co-workers. By their trustful attitude and many good works performed out of gratitude and to the glory of God, they have become the Lord's agents who were everywhere engaged in the business of crowding the evil out of human hearts by filling them with all that is good and noble. They are, as it were, God's own peace corps. They are already the sons of God in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. In the day of judgment, the glorious adoption as sons will be publicly revealed. MacArthur, the preacher, writes this: most of us are thankful for our heritage, our ancestors, our parents, and our family name. It is especially gratifying to have been influenced by godly grandparents and have been raised by godly parents. But the greatest human heritage cannot match the believer's heritage in Jesus Christ, because we are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Nothing compares to being a child of God. Those who have found peace through Jesus Christ will be called the children of God. We think about being a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that live for God, that have a peace in their heart. The Bible says it's a peace that passes all understanding. Now, I think when we think about the peacemaker, it's twofold, because you cannot have any peace. You cannot be a peacemaker unless you know true peace. We're not talking about having a good Saturday afternoon in your lazy boy chair. We're not talking about, you know, after work, having a relaxing evening on the back porch as the breeze blows by. We're not talking about maybe having a problem with someone and that getting fixed and you feel that relief of reconciliation. Those may be part of having peace in your life, but that's not what this is talking about. When we think about being a peacemaker, church, this morning, it says, blessed are the peacemakers. The Lord wasn't saying, hey, just live a tranquil life. In fact, they cry peace, peace when there is no peace. I was studying some of our country and some of the compromises for peace that we made back during like the Civil War, for example, and the compromises that took place. I mean, there was no peace. It ended up resulting in a war. It's, oh, we got peace, we got peace. It was no peace. Israel, they had an attack in Israel this morning. And they said this: Israel attacks Gaza. They didn't tell you the other side that they were being attacked. And people say, well, this is not peaceable. We talk about peacemakers and living in a world of peace. But this morning we think about these, when God says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And what does it mean? We see this definition. Let's talk about being a peacemaker. Well, to be a peacemaker, you've got to be peaceable. We live in a world of wickedness and sin all the time. We live in a world of just drugs and debauchery and trouble on every side. Have you all know what I'm talking about? I mean, today, you know, who would have ever dreamed that we live in a world today where, I mean, an athlete, a world-famous athlete now May turned into one of the ugliest women that ever walked. He was on a wheeze box. Now he's on the front of People magazine. Who would have ever dreamed that? Who would have ever dreamed that we live in a culture, in a country like that? Who would ever dreamed in England with its spiritual heritage that now it is absolute wickedness on every hand? I mean, everywhere you turn, who would have ever dreamed that in America, how did we get this way? We think about it being politics. I'm going to tell you what happened is we got away from the Prince of Peace. Our ancestors were peacemakers. They were people of peace. They wanted to have a society full of peace. They wanted to have religious freedom where they could worship the Lord Jesus Christ in peace. And I'll say to you, as you're a preacher this morning, that other big religion in this world that is slowly marching all over America and all over the world, and it is not a religion of peace. In fact, it is a religion of the sword. Our Savior preaches and teaches peace and love and kindness and forgiveness. That one preaches wickedness and horrible. I mean, that, you can't even share some of the stuff that even its founder preached and taught from this pulpit. Today, people say, oh, no, you got to love every religion. Let me tell you something, friend. Understand this, some of you religion lovers, not every religion is Jesus Christ. We think Muhammad, and we think, oh, man, they got to be nice as Jesus. Jesus was the founder of Christianity, so they must all be nice. That's not true. There's only one Jesus. Hey, there's only one that walked on water. There's only one that loved little boys and girls in the right and godly, honest way. There's only one that's truly God, and that's our Savior. The thing about being the peacemaker. I want to read to you real quickly here, church, this morning, make some comments on what, as Brother Spurgeon said, old Watson said about this. He gives a description of a peacemaker, of being peaceable in your heart. He writes this. First of all, he gives 11 of these. I'm going to go through these real quickly. I want you to get these. He says, number one, he talks about being, the Bible says this, if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Hey, can I say to you this morning, Christians ought to get along with each other. Amen? I'm not talking about picadillos because you like a different football team. I don't like you anymore because you didn't do something exactly the way I like doing it. Therefore, I don't like you anymore. And we've got it going on all over the place. Islam is encroaching in America, and we've got Baptist churches fighting over stuff that don't matter. I'm just going to say that out loud. That needs to be said. We've got people within churches that can't get along over stuff. It really is non-consequential in the big scheme of things. And I know people have their opinions. I get that. Let me say something to you. We got to get all hands on deck. We got to circle the wagon, so to speak, and get together on this thing. There's too much division amongst God's people. And part of it is because we can't live together. We can't function together. We've got to learn to get along. Amen, Brother Dallas. But he says this, there's 11 things. He writes this. A peaceable spirit seems to be agreeable to the natural frame and constitution of a man. He writes this, it's interesting. He said, you know, God didn't make man with a paw, with a claw on it, or with fangs, with teeth, or with a porcupine spine. I've met a few porcupines, but they think they are, but they're not really. He didn't make a man that had a poisonous bite. Did you ever notice, if you look at our bodies, the way we're made, now we fight and strike and we've invented weapons, but truly, man by his very design, God, I really believe God intended for there to never be a war. Because if he wanted us to be fighters, he could have put claws on us, couldn't he? I mean, he did make the lion. He made the rhino's got a big giant, we don't have a big giant horn sticking out, do we? He could have made us however he wanted to if we were supposed to be fighters. In fact, he writes this, Watson writes how, even our very makeup, the way we're made for peace. Mankind is made to put his hand out and shake another man's hand. That's part of it. That's the sign of fellowship. When we come to church, we shake each other's hand. We are built for peace. But yet we live in a world of fighting. We live in a world where we go from our hand and we make that fist, don't we? Even a little baby in a nursery learned very quickly to grab, to growl. That they learn very quickly. He writes this real quick. Let me say this. A peaceable spirit is honorable. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. You know, we make heroes out of Rambo in America, don't we? And I'm the same way. I mean, my favorite, if you ask me my favorite movies, most of them somebody getting beat up. I like that. I like those types of things. But we make heroes out of somebody who's tough. One of the biggest sports in America is UFC fighting, boxing. We like those types of things. I mean, to me, if you're going to watch a movie, somebody needs to get blown up. I like military things. But you know, the Bible says it's honorable. We almost think it's cool to fight. It's cool to do those things. We're tough. But the Bible says this, it is honor for a man to cease from strife. God is honored when we cease. Man, I'm not going to do that. It goes, he writes this, a peaceable spirit is highly, prudential is the word he uses, but full of wisdom. James 3:17 says the wisdom from above is peaceable. I guarantee you, if you feel led to do something that's not peaceable, it's not God leading you. God never let a man go blow somebody up. I heard people, I'm going to blow his doors off. That's not God. Your flesh may like it. I've had people ask me, because I've had people say things to me. I've had people ask me in private, brother, that's when you just like a one time, just let loose. I'm thinking, you don't really. Yeah, my flesh wants to let loose. But how many of y'all know this? That is never godly. If I went around this room this morning and talked to some of you all, when you all let loose, when you let somebody have it, you regret it. I've been married 28 years. I wish I could take back the many times I've said things to my spouse that I should not have said. In fact, most of our now it's been sweet, making up sweet sometimes, amen? But most of the time I had to go back and say, honey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I should not have said that. We don't have peace because of something that I said. Let me say to you, church, this morning, it is wisdom to live in peace. In fact, when somebody's in constant turmoil, here's the word, and we don't really use the word peace as much anymore. Here's the word that's in our modern vocabulary, and you see this on our social media. I listened to a message by Brother Scott Paul. It's on sermon audio. I listened to it about social media. Of course, he was geared to young people, but everybody ought to listen to it. But we're living in a time now where I would say instead of peace, I'd say the opposite of peace would be drama. Drama. I've been around people, man, they call them the law. Somebody's having this happen or having that happen. I'm like, oh, man, just let me have boring. How many of y'all like boring this morning? I like boring. I like nothing. Guess what, man? We was at the house. Nothing happened. Amen. We mowed the yard. Woo, Brother Dice, you're living a wild life. Absolutely. Absolutely. To me, getting to mow my yard, I take my grandson on. I'm like, man, this is a good day. I might even drink me some diet sweet tea and do nothing that evening. That is a great day. I love because I stay so busy. To do that is just a great time. And what I mean by that is, hey, they got a new show on TV called It's Live PD. They got all these cameras with police departments all over America. And part of me likes it and part of me makes me a nervous wreck because it's just constant turmoil. It's constant things. I thought, man, God don't want us to live that way. God don't want us to live a life of turmoil and of trouble and problems all the time. That's not what God wants us to live. Blessed are the peacemakers. He writes to be peaceable. He goes on. Peaceable disposition is a God-like disposition, he writes. God the Father is called, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, the God of peace. Mercy and peace, the Bible says, are about his throne. He signs the articles of peace and sends the ambassadors of peace to publish them in 2 Corinthians. He is a God of peace. He's not a God of turmoil. He's not a God of drama. He's a God of peace. Christ's earnest prayer, number 6, he writes, was for peace. He prayed that his people might be one in John 17, verse 11, verse 21, verse 23. That might be of one mind and one heart. When God prays, he talks, when our Savior prays, he prays for peace. He prays for peace. We ought to live a life of peace. 7, he writes this, Christ not only prayed for peace, but bled for peace. All of a sudden it starts getting a little bit more serious. Well, Brother Alistair, you're just talking about being peaceful because this is what the sermon says. Listen to what the Bible says. Having made peace, 1 Corinthians 1:20, through the blood of his cross. Man, that made that very serious. Well, I do what I want to do, and I say what I want to say. Whoa, wait a bit now. You're starting to go against the Lord above as a Christian. If you say, well, I just want to, I don't care. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to stand up for my, now listen, I'm not talking about getting walked over. We're not talking about letting the enemy come in. Hey, we got some Christians in, you know, they would let Islam just take over America. We're not talking about that. Sometimes you got to stand against the wolves. I mean, you got to do that. But let me tell you, as Christians, let me say this to you, though. You got to be very careful and say, well, I want to have my own way. I want to do my own thing. Because you're going against the very blood of Jesus Christ. We start thinking about living our life for the Lord. In fact, he writes this, strife and contention hinder the growth of grace. Can good seed grow in a ground where there is nothing but thorns and briars to be seen? Matthew 13:7, the thorns choke the seed. How many folks, when they see the Christian, our Christian family not getting along, how many unsaved people look at us and say, well, when the Christians start getting it right, then I'll go. And we must confess, church, we must be honest and say sometimes they have a valid point. We must say that. I've had people say to me that they work maybe on Sunday and they say, well, the worst crowds in the retail world or in the restaurant world, I guess, is the Sunday crowd of churchgoers. That should not be the case. I think all of y'all, you may not want to say amen. You may not be an amener, but right there you probably want to say amen. That is a shame. If the worst person in town to do business with is the local preacher and deacon, there's a problem. If I know I've had to do things business as your pastor, and I've had to say, I know a few years ago I was buying a plaque from a business up in Princeton, and they said, well, you got to come in and pay for it cash. I said, what? They said, yeah. They said, churches won't pay their bill. Some of y'all in the business world, y'all know what I'm talking about. But can I say something to you? That is wrong. Amen. You make a bill, you ought to pay a bill. That's talking about living in peaceable. You're living an unpeaceable life if you don't live a life of doing things like that. You see, how can you say you're a child of God if you can't live a peaceable life? Strife and contentions hinder that. He writes this real quickly. Peaceableness amongst Christians is a powerful force to draw the world to receive Christ. It's a powerful force. He also writes this, unpeaceableness is a spirit to make Christians turn heathens. It is a sin of the heathens in Romans chapter 1 to be implacable. Heathen people live like that. Christian people should not be living like that. I heard about a deacon in a church, and he behind the rest of the church members, he went and had special meetings and all this thing. And I thought, man, that is wicked. Somebody somewhere ought to stand against that mess. And it's going on all over the place amongst Christian people, having special meetings, getting together, say, look, we need to talk about this. And they have a special group. You watch, you mark it down. That's wicked. That's unpeaceable. And people that are outside of church or maybe nominal church members, they look at so-called on-fire Christians living that way and having that type of life. And they're like, what is that? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's heathen. You show me somebody that does that and has special meetings and I'm going to get together and we're going to have roast preacher. I'm telling you, it's as wicked as the devil. And it's hurting the cause of Christ. He goes on and writes this. To add more weight to it, he says, it is the mind of Christ that we should live in peace. Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Have peace one with another. Many of you, hey, in your own home, you know if you're arguing with your spouse. If you're arguing with your children, as we think about Father's Day last week, the Bible says, children, provoke not your father's wrath. Can I say to dads, can I say this? We ought to live a life as men that doesn't cause that. You can't live a life. Hey, we ought to live a life where people want to say about you, that's my dad. That's my mom. That's my church. That's my preacher. Now, I'm not talking about being famous and being cool and being in style. Hey, dads, you're never going to be in style. I ain't been cool since about 1982. Amen. Never going to be cool. Hey, this church ain't going to be cool. Jesus wasn't cool. So we've got this thing. I watched a preacher this week that's supposed to be the coolest preacher in America, and he just does disservice to the Scriptures. I mean, he's just absolutely doing disservice to the Scriptures. And everybody's like, oh, this is wonderful. No, it's not wonderful. That's a false piece. It's not true. And we as Christians need to live a life that's true and right, godly. He gives us these exhortations to peace. And then we see the delight. This children of God. How many of y'all love your children? Okay, I'm sorry, some of you kids. Only two people raised your hand and love your kids. How many of y'all love your children? How many of you love your grandchildren? That hand went up quicker for them grandbabies, didn't it? We love our children, don't we? You know, even the Bible talks about what if a man loves his child, he don't give him a stone. He don't give him a snake. If they need a piece of bread, you don't want to hurt that child. You love that child. To be called a child of God, what a compliment that is. What a wonderful thing. I think a great compliment. There's one preacher I'm thinking of this morning, and when I hear him preach, he makes me love Jesus more. He makes me want to study my Bible more. He makes me want to talk about the Lord more. He just makes me just want to sit at the feet of Jesus. To me, that's the ultimate compliment. He makes me want to be like a child of God. Can I say something to you, church, this morning? You and I, hey, what a blessed thing it is to be a child of God. What a blessed thing it is. Blessed are the peacemakers. We see this definition. We see this description. Then it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Who are the children of God? You can spot a Christian. Most of y'all have been living very long. And even if you don't have a spirit of discernment, most of y'all can spot a Christian a mile away. Most of the time, you can usually tell if they're kind. Now, if you're not kind and you're a Christian, that's a problem. Amen. If they're giving, if they sacrifice, if you're around somebody and they're kind to you and then they're giving and they sacrifice and they're humble, you usually start thinking, wait a minute, there's something about this person. I remember several years ago, I think I was at a restaurant and it was a black girl and she was really tall, almost tall as I was. And I know, she was being kind. She'd been very nice. She acted very humble. She's very kind to people around her. And I sat there and I looked at her and I said, are you a Christian? I normally never do that. She said, why, yes, sir, I am. Amen. Can't you really tell when somebody knows the Lord, their spirit bears witness with our spirit? Amen. It's a man, I don't know. In fact, most of the time when you're around somebody like that, it makes you say, man, I need to live better. I wonder if somebody'd say that about me. What does it mean? We think about being a child of God. I want to give you some things again from Watson here. They shall be called the children of God. He writes some things that I think are very good. Some signs. Here are some signs that he writes. Way back in the 1600s, he writes this. The first sign of a heavenly sonship is tenderness of heart. 2 Chronicles 34:27 says, because their heart was tender. Some folks, they brag, they're almost confident in their hard-heartedness. That preacher not break me. That song ain't going to break me. I ain't going to cry. Hey, listen, don't ever get past being tender-hearted. In fact, what is a little child? I know, I'll tell you, I don't like using, I shouldn't use personal illustrations, but I'm going to use this one. I love taking little Cashin on the lawnmower. I don't know that he loves it, but I love it. My days were running together. And I had him and we were mowing and it was starting to get dark. And so when we went down this one part of on our property, the leaves started kind of, it's dark. I noticed he started looking up. The next thing I know, he started climbing up my side. He started climbing up and I thought, bless his heart, he is, you know, it wasn't dark, but he's just 10 months old. So have you all know this, when you're little, you're tender. You say something to one of these little kids. I had a teacher in second grade said something to me. I'm almost 50. I've never forgotten. When I've seen her out as she's gotten older, and I want to go up to her and say something real mean because she said something real mean to me. I've never forgotten. You see what I mean by that? When you're tender, when you're little, when you're young, when you're a child, you are tender. By the way, you better be careful how you speak to a little child. You can hurt them forever. I've learned a long time ago. You can do a lot of things with a teenager, but don't embarrass them. They'll never forgive you for that because it hurts. They're tender. And can I say this to you this morning? The first sign of that is first sign of being a child of God is having a tender heart. Well, thank God for being tender-hearted. If nothing ever moves you from God, if nothing ever gets to you, if nothing bothers you, hey, if you don't have a tender heart toward the things of God, there is a problem. In fact, God, describing his own people, said they were stiff-necked and hard of heart. They made their heart as an adamant stone. We'll look at it just a moment. He writes this. talking about, of course, he talks about a tender heart. But secondly, the second sign is second sign of being a child of God is assimilation. Now, what is assimilation? Did you know that some of our ancestors, when they came to America, if they were Irish or Italian or German, you know what they did when they come to America? They left it behind. It's called assimilation. Now, I mean, they may have had some recipes, you know. My family had some sauerkraut recipes and pickled recipes that they brought from the old country, but they assimilated, become Americans. We didn't say we were German Americans. We didn't say we were Scottish Americans. Even though I still like the bagpipes, amen. But we assimilate, we become Americans. I'm an Appalachian American, amen. We're in a real minority. We don't even talk right. Can I get an amen? Y'all right? But we assimilated, didn't we? And today it bothers us. When you see somebody today that don't speak English, as an American, say, man, why don't you learn the language? Teddy Roosevelt said they need to learn the language. If you and I go to another country, and when our missionaries go to another country, you know what they do? They assimilate. When Ron Neely goes to Sweden, he learns to speak Swedish. He doesn't go over there and wave an American flag every day, say, I'm an American, how dare you? No, he assimilates. He said, but that's what's that got to do with us. Can I say this to you, church? When you're a child of God, you assimilate into the family of God. You don't live. You say, well, I'm my own person. I'm not going to be one of the normal Christians. You know what that is? That's rebellion. And the Bible says rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. When a child of God assimilates, it doesn't bother them to go to church. It doesn't bother them to read the Bible. It doesn't bother them to look and act and talk and walk like other Christians do because they assimilate into the family of God. I say to you this morning, when somebody doesn't assimilate, it's a good sign they're not a child of God. It's a good sign. If they don't become like that, most of you are just like your family. I can be around you 5 minutes and I can see your daddy or your mama or your, and some of you don't even realize it. Because that's your physical makeup. The same thing, when you're a child of God, you assimilate. Thirdly, he writes this, the third sign of God's children is they have the Spirit of God. In fact, the Bible says you have received the Spirit of adoption. You have the Spirit of God. Those who are Christ-like, those who know the Lord, those who are peacemakers. Hey, somebody says, well, I've got the gift of being a peacemaker. I saw somebody said this under a sermon I was listening to in the comments. They said, I am a peacemaker, but I'm not a Christian. Then you're not a peacemaker. Just because you have an ability to help people get along does not mean you're a peacemaker. That's totally different than what God's talking about right here. Totally separate issue. And so when we think about being, a sign that you're a child of God, is the Bible says that you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, a child of God. You don't have to wonder about it. There's too many folks that say they're children of God and they don't even go to the God's house. Can you imagine that? He goes on and he has a few more here I want to share with you real quickly. He also talks about another sign of God's children is to delight much in God's presence. Children love to be in the presence of their father. Children love to be in the presence of their father. Your little grandson or granddaughter may come and look at you like this. I've seen some of you. I've watched you with your family. They want to be with you. You can see their light up. Or their eyes just light up because they want to be with you. Hey, wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something? I saw little Blakely getting at the blueberry patch, Brother Kevin. Man, she just said, her mom and dad, what a day to meet your mom and dad picking blueberries. Isn't that a great day? Wouldn't it be something for us to look at the Lord the way our children look at us? And say, well, I just want to be with you. Can I say something to you? Hey, look, sure they want the toys. But you know who you really want? I like being like my grandparents. I just like being around. I just want to be with them. I just want to hang out. When you love somebody, say, what was y'all doing? We just hanging out. What do you mean hanging out? You don't have to do anything if you love somebody. It's just hanging out. Amen. Hey, some of you, when you ride around, hey, if you love your spouse, just riding them back and forth somewhere. You just enjoy the ride. When you love your child, you just like being with them. You know, we say take them fishing. That's code for hang out. Not a lot of fishing gets done when you take your children fishing. What are you doing? You're spending time. You say, well, that's what you mean. Can you imagine if we had that desire? Say, God, I just want to hang out with you. See, the peacemakers, you have a peace in your heart. You say, man, that's a child. That right there is a child of God. He hangs out with God. He spends time with God. He does what God wants him to do. Another thing about being a child is you want to do the will of your father. You know, a child, many times, I read one of the famous athletes from West Virginia, Jerry West. He's the logo in basketball. Have y'all heard of Jerry West? Who I'm talking about? I was watching an interview. He said this, if I remember this right. He said, I spent my life trying to make one person happy. His dad. He didn't want to mess up because he wanted to please his dad. In fact, it really kind of made him a nervous type of a person. Now, if you ever watched him play, he was a phenom. He was unbelievable. And all of that, he would tell you. In fact, I watched the interview, he about teared up. He says, because one guy, that one man, he wanted to please. Can you imagine if we had that desire to please God that way? In fact, can I say something to you? A true son wants that. A true child says, God, I want to do your will. And let me say this, another sign is a child of God will do everything they can to make other people children of God. A true child of God says, man, it is so good. It is so good to be a child of God. Why don't you come with me? Look how good this is. You know, sometimes on our van routes and things, some of the kids that have had rough lives, I've heard them make comments like this. Brother Dallas, can we go home with you? I've seen kids pretty rough. Say, Brother Dallas, and some of y'all, they'll come up to you and say, man, can I go home with you? What are y'all doing? I've had kids literally call me and say, what are you doing, brother? I said, well, I'm driving somewhere. And get on the van just to ride. Just to ride. Why? Because they wanted that peace. Can we ride with God this morning? Can we say, Lord, I want to, hey, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We've got too many folks that are not living lives like children of God. They're kind of bored with it. In fact, it's the cool thing today. Most homes are such a wreck today, and fathers are absent, and moms are absent. There's no nuclear home. It's hardly use some of these illustrations because what Satan has done is he's come in and snaked his way in and destroyed the fabric of the home. So we have a hard time thinking about being a son of God. We don't know what it means. We think about blessed are the peacemakers. We see this definition of being a peacemaker. See this delight. Now, let me give you some points. We'll go home. Let me ask you some things here. We'll give you about five of these. We'll go home, I promise. Number one, is your life peaceable? In fact, as you heard this message, you may be saying, boy, I'd like to have some peace in my life. I'd like to have some of these blessings. I'd like to not have so much drama. So much, the word I use is controversy. Always some controversy going on. Satan loves that. Is your life peaceable? And when I say peaceful, I'm not talking about do you have enough money and are you just you sitting on the porch. I'm talking about having peace with God and living a peaceable life. Secondly, let me say this. Satan rules in chaos. Now you listen to me, hear me well now. Satan rules in chaos. When you watch these people marching on the street, you cannot help but look at them and say, what in the world? I saw a guy who was on a float that's going down, fatter than me, and didn't have many clothes on. He's up there dancing. I thought, God help us, what a chaotic looking mess. Y'all can laugh right there. And you can tell by a mile away, say, man, that's satanic. That's as wicked as a day is long. But that's what's being pushed and promoted as being, now, look, we can't be judgmental, Brother Dallas. Hey, look, honey, you don't have to be a genius. No, that's just mess. Satan rules in chaos. Our homes are in chaos. Our country's in chaos. All kinds of things going on, just chaotic. What in the world's going on? Right is wrong and wrong is right. How many know what I'm talking about? Thirdly, let me say this. I just want to say this out loud. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. I mean, that's what it's about is Christ, the Prince of what? Peace. In fact, at Christmas, we have peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Christianity is a religion, and I hate to use the word religion, of peace. It's peaceable. Wherever Christianity really takes root and hold in a place, it is peace. In fact, we'll say this, that's a God-fearing community. You know what we're saying by that is when you go into that community, now they're not perfect, but you don't have to, I mean, they're God-fearing. There's not going to be a bunch of mess going on because it's a peaceable place. And when God's not a God-fearing community, what do? You say, don't even go there. Don't even go. Man, don't. Hey, there's businesses. They say, they'll block them off. They'll tell their people that work for the business, don't even go to that part of town. They'll block it out. So don't go there. That's not peaceable. You can get shot and killed there. Where Christianity takes a root, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Let me say this. I wrote this down. Lord, give me this, I think, I hope. Are you tired of the war zones? I'm tired of the war zones. I'm tired of the constant battle, the constant fighting. I'm thinking, God, you're not in some of these things. There's just no way. There's too many battles and things going on, even in Christian circles that shouldn't be going on. I know several preachers here in just the last little while that have stepped out of their pulpit. Preachers that and their marriages are splitting in half. Christians and trouble on every side. Things going on just wicked. And it's a war zone. It's like a battlefield. Even in Christian homes, the children being raised up, I don't want that. And because we have a life and we've developed almost a culture that's not peaceable. There's no peacemaking going on. In fact, when I preach this, it's almost foreign to us. We're having a strain. As I was studying this, and I read several sermons and read several things, I thought, man, this is so different than our culture today. We don't even understand some of these things. That being peacemakers. Are you tired of the war zones? And let me say this as we close. Surrender to the true peacemaker. Some of y'all today need to go to somebody and say, hey, I need to make something right between me and you. And make some peace as a brother and sister in Christ. You absolutely need to do it. You absolutely need to do it. But can I say something to you? You're never going to really have a true peace until you know the Prince of Peace. You see, we're trying to manufacture it. We're trying to say, hey, if you get educated, and I'm for education, I'm for that. If you read a book, if you get a library, by the way, that is very noble and honorable. I love books. I'm a book geek. I mean, I've got a book here from the 1600s. I love them. But just because you get educated does not make you, doesn't mean you're going to have peace. Well, if we can just get our kids, you know, a good livelihood, then they'll have peace. How many of y'all know this? You can have money, you can have fame, you can have education, you can have everything the world has, and yet there is no peace. There's people who are going to go right by this church today with their boat behind them, thinking if they put it on the water, they'll have just a few hours of peace. If they can just kick back a few, I can just have a few moments of relaxation. But here's the problem, and here's the kicker. It doesn't satisfy. Someone said years ago, there's a God-shaped hole in every man's heart, and only God can fill it. And Jesus is saying here, if you look at this world, you're going to try to have peace here, you're going to try to have peace there. He said, hey, blessed are the peacemakers. The real peacemakers are going to be called the children of God. Those have really brought lasting peace. In fact, it is said by some of our Baptist forefathers, any place that people that believe like we believe in this church, there's never been a place that believe like we believe that has ever had anything but peace. We are people of peace. We're not people of war. We're not people of contention. We're people that stand for peace. Our ancestors and our forefathers came, you know what they wanted? To be left alone. They wanted peace. I want to say to you, church, this morning, blessed are the peacemakers. Let's have peace in our homes. Let's have peace in our churches. We can have peace. Hey, our whole area is eat up with drugs. And he has a whole thing in here talking about, even back that and during that time, how things outside, I think we see maybe another book, outside influences, how it takes away peace. The modern drug movement in America has taken away a lot of peace. Right here in our area, it's taking away peace. We cry peace, peace when there is no peace. I wonder this morning, do you want peace in your life, in your marriage, in your home? Hey, how about just in your heart? I've asked God, one of the reasons that the Lord pushed me to this passage is I had some days where I was just anxious and had anguish. And I said, Lord, I need some peace. I need something to help me here. And God drove me to this passage. I want that peace that passes all understanding. I want to be able to lay your head down at night and not have worry and fret and give it to God. Aren't you glad we got a God in heaven that's sovereign, knows all about what we're going through? I want to say to you this morning, you can be a peacemaker. Do you want to? Let's all stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I tried to bring the message you put on my heart.